King of Kings. I appreciate the Lord of Lords. I appreciate the I am that I am. We worship you. We honor you. We adore you. We magnify you. Be glorified. Be adored. Be adored. Blessed be your name. In Jesus' precious name. Give the Lord a big clap of hand. And take your seat in the presence of the Lord. Has it been a very exciting experience? You will never remain the same. You will never remain the same. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Again, verse 1. He said, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw near, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. The days of youth, knowing God and his secrets, this will be part 3. Yesterday, we stopped at what the knowledge of God will do. And the final thing we arrived at was that the knowledge of God is key to spiritual refreshing and revival. What is left is actually the next level. The knowledge of God gives access to the secrets of God. Job chapter 29 and in verse 4. He said, as I was in the days of my youth, when the secret of God was upon my tabernacle, when the secret of God was upon my tabernacle. The question is, what is the impact of the secret of God? Before we go there, you realize that the secret of God was behind the making of Joseph. The secret of God was behind the making of Daniel. And just like we have seen, the secret of God was behind the making of Job. What is the impact of the secret of God? Number one, the secrets of God brings success to man. God is absolutely successful. So if God shows you what makes him God, it's not possible to be a failure. If God shows you what makes him God, it is not possible to be stranded. The secret of God makes man successful. Second, The secrets of God are the platform for stardom in life. Anybody who has access to the secrets of God will end as an effortless star. The secrets of God are the platform for stardom in life. I just showed you 2 or 3 people. Daniel was a star. Job was a star. Joseph was a star. These were people who had access to the secrets of God. Thirdly, the secrets of God are the channels of supernatural supplies. Supernatural supplies. Daniel was instantly made a great man in Babylon when he got access to the secret that nobody knew, which supplies. Daniel chapter 2 from verse 47 all the way to verse 49 is key to supernatural supplies. Can we go on? Number four, we are going right. Number four, the secrets of God guarantee shelter for man. Shelter. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shelter of the Almighty. The shadow of the Almighty guarantees shelter. The meaning of that is you are not permitted to suffer what they suffer. You are not permitted to feel the storms of life. You are not permitted to feel the heat of life. You are not permitted to feel the tension of life. Somebody say amen. Finally, number five, the secrets of God are the guarantee of safety for man. Safety. Anybody connected to his secret is not vulnerable to danger or disaster. You can't be wasted anyhow. You can't be killed anyhow. I will say of the Lord is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him will I trust. Psalm 91. Verse 2. Anytime you see two people in the same circumstance and their results are different, it means that they know different things. Am I communicating? They know different things. Cain, Abel. The same mother gave birth to them. Some people think, some theologians think that maybe they were the product of the same conception like Esau and Jacob. But one brought to God the fruit of the ground. The other brought to God a lamb, a kid for sacrifice. God had respect to the offering of Abel. He had no respect for the offering of Cain. The question somebody might ask is, how did we know that God respected one man's offering from the other? There is always a consistent sign in Scripture. And I'm sure that that sign happened there. Every time God accepts a sacrifice, the fire falls. 2 Chronicles chapter 7 verse 1. As Solomon dedicated, the fire came from heaven, consumed the sacrifice. 1 Kings chapter 18, I believe verse 38. After Elijah finished praying, the fire fell from heaven and consumed the sacrifice. I believe it was in Numbers chapter 10 verse 1, where the sons of Leviticus 10:1, really? Where the sons of Aaron offered the sacrifice that God did not command. And the fire fell looking for sacrifice and couldn't find it, consumed them. So, I believe that that sign happened for Cain and Abel. And all of a sudden, Abel's sacrifice was gone and Cain's was still there. And Cain realized that God had respected his brother's sacrifice and he thought that the solution was to kill him. What was the difference? Two things happened to Abel. He brought the firstlings of his flock. Firstling. That is the first one that was born. That was the principle of the first fruit. He didn't touch anything. He just brought the first one that was born. Number two, he brought a sacrifice that had blood. For Cain, the Bible says, he brought of the fruit of the ground. Anything his hand found, he carried. And it was bloodless. What is the principle of the blood? It's atonement. When Adam and Eve fell, God sacrificed an animal and used the back, the skin of it, to clothe them. That sacrifice did not just cover them physically, it covered them spiritually. And Abel must have heard the story and decided to employ the same blood sacrifice. And God respected Abel. Cain, I don't know where Cain occupies anywhere right now, but Abel can never be forgotten. The Bible said, even though he is dead, he yet speaks. Am I communicating at all? So, every time you see people with different results, in all likelihood, they know things differently. You think they know things. You think they may be, so they were in class or they are in fellowship together, so they know the same thing. No. Our secrets, the secrets we know is behind the success we see. I used to think that everybody who grew up with me or we grew up together or we went to the same fellowship or we went to the same this or that, that we knew the same thing until I was proven wrong. Proven black. Very, very wrong. And you know people's principles by their practices. People practice their principles. Even if they don't tell you this is what they believe, their behavior betrays their believing. Am I communicating? So if we are going to end similarly, positively, successfully, we must know similar things. That was also the difference between Esau and Jacob. We explained that, explored that the other day. And it goes on and on and on. That was also the difference between David and his brethren. Question is, if I want to access the secrets of God, if I want to know things that I haven't known, and probably know things that others don't know, what are the keys? Number one, is desire and desperation to know. Desire and desperation to know. The Bible said, then shall we know. Hosea chapter 6 verse 3. If we follow on to know the Lord, is going forth, is prepared as the morning, and it shall come unto us as the rain, as the latter and former rain unto the earth. The desperation to know. Desperation is the magnet of revelation. The desperation to know. Then shall we know if we pursue to know. What is not pursued is never possessed. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Was that Matthew chapter 5 verse 6? For they shall be filled. Hunger and thirst after righteousness. Hunger and thirst, for they shall be filled. Philippians chapter 3 and in verse 10, Paul the apostle speaking said, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. That I may know him. That I may know him. Exodus chapter 33 and in verse 18, Moses speaking, he said, I beseech you, show me your glory. Show me a department of you that I don't know. Show me your glory. Hallelujah. Interest is the pool of insight. Brothers, sisters, prove to God that you are hungry. Prove to God that you are hungry. Prove to God that you don't know and you need to know. There is the time to read the Bible, and that is very normal. That expands your, it expands your information base. It makes scriptures available at your fingertips. So that when you are meditating or thinking and events comes up in your mind, you can easily look for it. That's the place of reading. But there is a place of study where you are not in a hurry to leave the verse. There is a place where you are there, 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 you are there. 1 day, 2 days, 3 days, depending on how long it takes you to break that verse into atoms and molecules. Is God speaking to anybody here at all? This is very, very important. 1 Samuel chapter 3 and in verse 21. He said that God revealed, the Lord appeared again in Shiloh. For the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. You easily encounter the Lord from his word. Don't kill yourself if you can't see vision. Because in my experience when I was growing up as a young Christian, almost everybody around me, anytime we prayed, they saw something. I saw nothing. I'm sure I'm speaking the mind of some people now. Every time they prayed, they said, oh, I saw an angel just came just now and just carried something. Oh, I just saw a light. For me, if I put sellotape on my eyes, I will see nothing. It doesn't matter how much I close the eye. Is something wrong with me? Why is it that, what is it? And the one that touches me the most, say, the Lord said, I should tell you. Why can't God tell me myself? What did I do? What did I do? The Lord said, I should tell you. Lord, did I offend you? Why are you always sending my brothers to me? Talk to me yourself. If I'm sending my brethren in the Lord. But I delved into the word. Maybe God did that so that I could be adept in the word. Delved into the word. And everything I wanted to hear, to see, to experience started coming out of the world. Started coming out of the world. Started coming out of the world. And I can tell you that the word of God weighs heavier than any prophecy. It weighs heavier than any revelation. It weighs heavier than any vision. I can assure you of that. As a matter of fact, we use the word to judge prophecies. We use the word to judge visions. We use the word to judge spiritual revelations. To know whether they are accurate or not. I mean, there are things that somebody say, I saw, and no matter what you saw, by the time we place it side by side with the word and it does not pass the test, just discard it as trash. Take your seat in the presence of the Lord. And so, the first thing is that desire and desperation to know. Number two is inquiry and prayer to know. Inquiry and prayer to know. Psalm 119, verse 18. It said, open thou my eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Earlier on, we saw how Moses was inquiring and praying and asking God in Exodus 33 and in verse 18. He said, show me your glory. And did God show him? Psalm 103, verse 7. He made known his ways unto Moses and his acts unto the children of Israel. Somebody say a loud amen. His acts unto the children of Israel. In Daniel chapter 2, verse 17 to verse 19. Then Daniel went to his house and made this the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, that they will desire mercies of the God of heaven concerning this secret.
that Daniel and his fellows
would not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon.
Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel
in a night vision. They desired mercies of the God of heaven.
So there are ways to do this. You can, before stepping into the study of the word, make demands on God. Lord, I am stepping into your word. Open my eyes to see something. Next, while in the course of study, you came across a knotty scripture. A scripture that is tied with knot. And you are saying to Lord, Lord, unknot this scripture. Lord, what are you saying here? Holy Spirit, what are you saying here? Cause me to see. And you break it down into atoms. Or you approach the scripture permanently with the attitude of intercession. You were praying before you started reading. You are praying while you are still reading. You are still praying after you finish reading. And then 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 and 10 becomes real. As it is written, eyes have not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things. Yeah, the deep, deep things of God. So the Spirit escorts you into the depths. Somebody say escort. He escorts you into the depths of scripture. He escorts you into the depths of light. Escorts you into the depths of insight. You are shocked that what you see out of one verse, what you see out of one verse, shocks, blows away your mind. Somebody say aloud, amen. Somebody say aloud, amen. Somebody say the loudest, amen. Number three, key to knowing him is meekness and teachability. Meekness and teachability. The meek will he guide. Psalm 25 verse 9. The meek will he guide in judgment. The meek will he teach his way. James chapter 1 verse 21. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. Meekness is the capacity to unlearn that you may learn. You behave like you don't know so that you will know. Meekness is the admission of ignorance. For the admission of insight. You admit that you are ignorant so that you can admit light. Meekness is the readiness to be taught. I believe it was Isaac Newton who said, I am ready to go anywhere, provided it is forward. He said, if I have learned anything, it is by standing on the shoulders of those who went before me. Meekness is the capacity to understand that anything can teach you. I didn't say anybody, anything. If things can teach you, how much more people? Anything can teach you. Psalm 29 verse 2, day unto day, utter speech, night unto night, showeth knowledge. Everything. Psalm 19 verse 2, everything is speaking, everything. Day unto day, uttereth speech, night unto night, showeth knowledge. I think it was in Jeremiah chapter 18 that Jeremiah said, he went, God told him, go to the house of the potter. And in that house of the potter, I will cause you to hear my word. Many people have not. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, the rod there, the wheel, the potter, and so forth. I will teach you. There are many who don't know, and they don't care that they don't know. Have you heard the definition? Someone was asked, what is the I don't care. He defined both of them. Do you know the difference between ignorance and apathy? He said, I don't know and I don't care. I don't know is ignorance. I don't care is apathy. That is his life. He is both ignorant and apathetic. Maybe that's why they were asking. I don't know and I don't care. There are people who will not allow somebody to talk. You are speaking, they want to. It's a demon. Whatever makes you think that you don't have anything to learn from people, that you have to be talking all the time, is a challenge. I learned many years ago that God gave us one mouth and two ears so we can hear twice for every time we have to talk. Are you following what I'm saying here today? He gave us eyes so we can see, ears so we can hear, so we can observe. Take your seat in the presence of the Lord. When God sent us to Abuja City initially, I went to see a man of God who was ahead of us in ministry to explain to him how the Lord sent us. And another man of God was there, a pastor. He was in Abuja City before we came. And while I was talking to this man of God about how God led us, he just interjected me. He said, Abuja City is already overwhelmed. There is so many churches. He began to mention churches in town. He mentioned popular churches that you all know. Oh, this one is already there. That one is already there. There is no other space in Abuja Church City for another church. Things like that. So the big pastor told him, did you send him? He said, in fact, is he talking to you? Because I wasn't talking to him. I was talking to the other pastor. Leave him alone. If he said God sent him, leave him alone. So we finished from there and we came and started the walk. He had been in town before, had church before, but the work of God in our hands by God's mercies grew and exploded. So this same man who said, oh, Abuja City is so saturated, no need for another church, returned back to me. And he said, can you tell me, please share with me secrets of ministry. Listen, you haven't heard nothing yet. You think that was the conclusion? Share with me secrets of ministry. Because I know that you must have the word of God. You must be able to preach very well. You must be able to teach the word. You must have a solid, vibrant prayer life. And also be able to do a lot of evangelism. And he just kept on talking and talking and talking. He was answering the question he asked himself. You know what I did? I said, you already know all of it. You already know everything. Father, assist him with all everything he already knows in Jesus' name. That was how I released him. I didn't share one word with him. He left town longest time, maybe 20 years ago. Since the time we talked, I don't know his address till now. Since then, 20 something years ago, till today. In all probability, he's in existence. But where is he? Placeless. He was on invitation handbill in town at that time. But today, totally placeless. Am I communicating at all? Meekness is an asset. Humility is a plus. It's an, the other, some time ago, I was with God's servant at the GO, and he said I was watching you the other day. I saw overflow 1, overflow 2, overflow 3, overflow 4, overflow 13, overflow. And he then told me, say, he saw me dancing to our music and so on. I say, now that I know you are watching me, I have to be very careful. Excuse me, sir, did I talk well? Did anything I say that was... He said, no, you are doing well. You are speaking. Go ahead, you are saying the correct things. That is a man who is at that level. Whether it was for 5 or 2 minutes that he came across whatever he watched at that time, he yet had the time to watch a boy that he is old enough to be the biological father of. It is those who don't know that don't know that they don't know. They don't know how much they don't know. Those who know that they need to know more. Very, very important. When I come across a pastor who comes to me and he says, I am a young man, God is sending me, I want to submit my ministry and myself to you. Please, sir, just say one word to me. And I start talking and he's nodding his head like a lizard that just fell from a miracle tree and just watching me and moping. Because I'm aware that the faintest ink is stronger than the photographic memory. That is it. No matter how strong your memory is, when you pen down a thought, you doubly retain it. You already remember what the person is saying, but the act of penning it down, that act it forces the mind, the brain to work double. Do you understand that? There is a mind-brain coordination. When I say black pen, and you do B-L-A-C-K-P-E-N, that connection makes you to see the words, see the paint, see the color, see everything together by that writing, that act. Passive learning is almost destroying a lot of people. Active learning is productive learning. When you are in action, so when the man is nodding and nodding, I just, after saying one or two things, I stop. So the Lord bless you. The other guy, if you cough, he writes it down. Wow. I said, all right. I will over talk. I will go far beyond whatever I prepare. My mind is just moved to help this guy. Just moved. The passion to just do everything to ensure he learns something that will remain with him just flows. And I think it is like that with God. Is God speaking to somebody here at all? This is very, very important. You don't gain anything by proving that you know everything. You gain nothing by behaving like you don't need to be taught. You gain nothing. You only end as a major loser. I see people bragging and say, oh, nobody has ever laid hands on me. Oh, nobody has ever. It's just useless, wasted kind of talk. Meekness and teachability. Number 4 is the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord. Psalm 25 and in verse 12. Psalm 25 and in verse 12, he said, what man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose.
If you fear the Lord, you are qualified for his teaching. Go all the way to verse 14, 13, 14. His soul shall dwell at ease. When God teaches you, he gives you rest. And his seed shall inherit the earth. Now verse 14. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him. And he will show them covenant details. You know covenant? If you do this, I will do this. This is the step to take. If you want to see this kind of result, this is what to do. That God is showing you partnership. The evil way and the froward mouth do I hate. That's the fear of the Lord. That's why he said, lay aside every filthiness, superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your soul. If you are hooked up to things that are filthy, pornographic things, lesbian things, masturbation things, drug, cigarette, alcoholism. Those things, lie, cheating. You took what is not yours. False accusation. False testimony. It means the fear of the Lord is not there. You do the wrong things with impunity. Conscience is not there. It is not possible to access light. Until conscience is clear, access is not there. Access both to God and access to light. So, exercise the conscience. Exercising the conscience to be void of offense is key to accessing light. Somebody say aloud, amen. Somebody say aloud, amen. Finally, number five, doing the word. Doing the word. Joshua chapter 1 and in verse 8, he said, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night, that you may observe to do all that is written therein. Observe to do, observe to do, observe to do, observe to do. Mark chapter 4, verse 24. And he said unto them, take heed what you hear. With what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you. And unto you that hear, shall more be given. Can I have the amplified version of that passage? The amplified version of that passage. You don't have it here. Anybody has it? For whoever has a teachable heart. Verse 24. You jump to verse 25. Then he said, pay attention to what you hear by your own standard of measurement. That is, to the extent that you study spiritual truth and apply godly wisdom, it will be measured to you. And you will be given even greater ability to respond, and more, that is more light and insight, will be given to you besides. This is the point. Application provokes revelation. Application. There are those who are only excited to get scripture to share with people. Brethren, oh bro, I just saw Rema now. Rema. You know, among you, those kind of things, but oh, Rema. And then when you start talking, Rema. Word. That's my word, man. My word. Word. It doesn't happen like that. Every time you contact revelation, locate responsibility. Every scriptural revelation is no revelation until there is identifiable responsibility. Every revelation of scripture places upon you the burden of responsibility. That is, there is always something to do. There is always something to do. You shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless your bread and your water. And I will take away sickness from the midst of you. Wow. He will take away sickness from the midst of me. He will bless my bread and my water. Praise the Lord. God is so faithful. He promised to bless my bread and my water. No. You didn't read it well. Don't quote it halfway like the devil. You shall serve the Lord your God. So the complete revelation is, I dive myself into service and I don't need to beg him for bread. I dive myself into his service and I don't need to beg him to be healed. So, what am I going to do to make that revelation applicable? I begin to look for avenues of service. Oh Lord, what do you need me to do now? Oh Lord, what kind of effort do you want me to put forth now? Somebody say aloud, amen. Lift up your right hand and say, in the name of Jesus, I connect revelation and I connect application. I connect revelation and I connect application. Now, take your seat and listen. Now, there is something that application will do for you. Whenever you give the revelation application, the revelation gains manifestation. And secondly, it provokes further revelation. He said, for you who hear and apply, more shall be given. You see the results of the light as you step out to apply it according to scripture. I don't need to beg for life. Not because I am pastoring a church. And there are pastors that are absolutely very poor. That put people under pressure of giving all the time. Because they have to pressurize people to give them. There are people who are even afraid of calling pastor or even visiting pastor. There are places where if a pastor visits your house, you must know that you have to. There are even those who suggest God is saying you should give me your car. All those kind of terrible things. But if I visit anybody today, anybody's house today, it's a blessing to their life. Thank you, God, you came. If I greeted anybody and we greeted each other and exchanged pleasantries, it is a blessing to their lives. Why? There are things that I know that I am doing that is the source of my supply. By covenant. What I do with God counts far more than what anybody can do for me. I was thinking recently, and when you begin to go forward, there are a lot of haters that rise up. And I looked at myself and I said, they don't know the covenant that we are rooted in. They don't know the details of depth of covenant ties with God. No clue. In the realm of the spirit, things don't happen by chance. They can't happen by chance. Things don't happen by chance. No, they can't happen by chance. They happen by calculated covenant orchestrations. They don't happen by chance. They don't happen by chance. Because God is no respecter of persons. If it happens by chance for this and doesn't happen by chance for that, then it means God is respecting persons. Going forward, every time you catch a light that makes you scream, Lord, what is my responsibility? What do I do with this? What are you saying to me? What is the area of the application of this particular truth? And when that is done, you are on your way. Somebody say a loud amen. Somebody say the loudest amen. Lift up your right hand and say, Father, I thank you for your goodness and your mercies and your faithfulness. Be thou glorified in the name of Jesus. I receive the grace. I receive the grace to apply all the things you have taught me. I receive the grace to see the scripture, to see the revelation, and to see the responsibility. I receive that grace. Thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. I'd like you to see this. And because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. And because I know, oh, he holds my future. My life is worth living. Because he lives, and because he lives, oh, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know, oh, he holds the future. My life is worth all living just. Because he lives. I came across this passage some time ago, Psalm 85 and in verse 9. He said, I will hear what the Lord will speak. 85:8. For he will speak peace unto his people and to his saints. But let them not turn again to folly. Suddenly I saw that if I didn't hear, it is not the fault of God. I will hear. Hearing God is a choice. Not just a gift. I will hear what the Lord will say. The question is, God is speaking. Are you willing to hear? For the Lord will speak peace. That is, every time you hear God, you encounter shalom. If peace is lacking, hearing is lacking, Shalom means tranquility, serenity, equanimity. It means wholeness, nothing missing. It means prosperity. For the Lord will speak prosperity. Hearing from God is key to supernatural supplies. Hearing from God is key to stressless existence. You speak peace to his people and to his saints, but let them not turn again to folly. That is, having heard God, don't return back to your old ways. Once God speaks, he speaks wisdom. He shows you what to do differently. Having received this as a revelation, what do I do with it? When next I am with the scripture, what are you saying, Lord? When next I'm at the place of prayer, what are you saying, Lord? I will hear. I am willing to hear. Let me hear it. Am I communicating at all? So this is very, very critical. There is nothing in the spirit that happens by chance. Everything happens by choice. Stand up on your feet. I have so much to say, but I'm seeing the time that I can't finish the next segment of the message within this short time. So I'll rather take it a full blast message later in the day. Be upstanding everywhere you are. Just lift up your hands and just begin to worship him. Begin to honor him. Begin to adore him. In the name of Jesus, lift up your hands. Say, Father, I am desperate in my desire to know you. I am desperate in my desire to know you, to know your word. Father, I am desperate in my desire to know you. Meet my desperation. Oh Lord, in the name of Jesus, open your mouth and speak to God. In Jesus' precious name, lift your hands and say, Father, open my eyes to behold wonders from your word. Open my eyes to see wondrous things out of your word. Place your hand across your eyes and say, Father, open my eyes to behold wonders from your word. Open me up to know you like I have never known before. Open me up, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Open your mouth and speak to God. Rotopia,
to behold wonders from your word. Open me up to know you like I've never known you before. Open me up, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Let the sokarana da yala dina marada. Let the sokarana da yala dina marada. Let the red the sokarana da yala dina marada. Let the sokarana da yala dina marada. Open me up, Lord. Open me up, Lord. In Jesus' precious name.
Amen.
Lift your hands and say, Father,
Father,
I make demands,
I make demands
on the spirit
of, the spirit
of meekness.
Of meekness.
A meek and humble spirit.
And humble spirit.
Grace,
grace
to be teachable.
To be teachable.
I receive it.
I receive it.
Grace,
grace
to be teachable.
To be teachable.
I receive it.
I receive it.
Now.
Now.
In the name of Jesus.
Open
your mouth and speak to God. In the name of Jesus, lift your hands and say, Father,
I receive
the fresh baptism
of the fear of the Lord.
I receive
the fresh baptism
of the fear of the Lord.
A fresh baptism
of the fear of the Lord.
A clear conscience.
I receive
now
in the name of Jesus.
Go ahead and speak to God. Thank you. In the name of Jesus. Finally, Lord, I receive the grace to apply. I receive the grace to apply your word. The grace to see the responsibility in the word. I receive that grace. Say, Father, I receive the grace to see the responsibility in your word and to apply. I receive that grace now in the name of Jesus. Go ahead and pray to God.
Lift up your two hands everywhere you are and just begin to get set to receive something. Everyone here today who you know, the fear of God has departed from you in many ways, and you want to renew your relationship with God and make Him take over completely your life. Maybe you are battling with one addiction or the other, pornographic addiction or anything like that. And you want today to be a turning point for you, quickly come to the front, to the altar here. You go on your knees, and then you will receive a total turnaround today. Don't wait for who will come out first, because when we go to meet God, we won't be judged according to who came out first. Quickly step forward.
Lift up your hands everywhere you are.
Dedicating your life to Jesus or being born again for the first time, pray this after me. Say, Lord Jesus, thank you for dying for my sins. I come to you today in the name of Jesus. I receive you as my Lord and Savior. Forgive me all my sins. Come into my life. Be the Lord of my life. Help me to live a life that pleases you all the days of my life. Today, I renounce every besetting sin and every limitation. I will serve you, Jesus, with all my life. In Jesus' name.
I pray for you today. I declare a new day for you. Fresh help and fresh mercy. Lift your hands everywhere you are, everybody. Lift your hands high up and close your eyes. Lift it higher. I prophesy that this season, God will give you one major secret that will shift your life, change your story, rewrite your life story. Lift up your hands now. Whisper the name Jesus. Place your hands across your eyes. Open eyes to see scripture. Open eyes to see into the realm of the spirit.
Open your mouth and pray. Open eyes to see scripture. Open eyes to see in the realm of the spirit. Pray. Open eyes to see the spirit. Open eyes to see the spirit.
Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we are praying.